Let's start with just asking God to bless our day, shall we? Oh, glorious King, thank you so much for the power that you entrust to us. Thank you that that power is from you and through you, and that it's beyond our comprehension. Thank you that your economy is often upside down of what the world's economy is, and that things that seem impossible to us, you empower us to do. Lord, this morning as we begin to think about shyness and social anxiety and the power that you entrust us with to glorify you even when these things feel debilitating to us, thank you, Lord, that you're willing to do that for us out of your love for us, as you clearly demonstrated in Jesus. We think you are the best. We love you. Amen. All right, so we're going to start this morning talking about shyness and social anxiety, and I'd like us to begin just by thinking about a couple of examples. So let me first of all tell you about Melissa. Melissa is single. She has never dated. She is perceived to be quiet and somewhat of a loner. Growing up, her parents always explained Melissa's awkwardness with strangers by stating, "She's shy. She's shy." That explanation became Melissa's identity and curse. Melissa hated school. She assumed that other kids would think she was boring, so she kept to herself. Lunchtime was the worst. Sitting alone, eating her homemade peanut butter sandwich, Melissa would look around at the other kids sitting with their friends. It felt to Melissa as if she sat in the center of a spotlight that highlighted her aloneness. Melissa was so miserable that she frequently had stomach aches and begged to stay home. After graduation, Melissa got a job at a local retailer during the busy Christmas season. The company needed employees so desperately that basically all Melissa had to do was just turn in an application. Trained to work as a cashier, Melissa hates her job. As she passes barcodes over the scanner, she keeps her eyes averted from the customers. On the few occasions she has looked up, she has read condemnation in their eyes. She feels that the customers are always looking at her, thinking she's too slow. If Melissa makes a mistake ringing up an order, she's often so embarrassed that she makes herself sick and is unable to go to work the next day. On her lunch break at work, Melissa feels like she's back in school. The other employees seem to enjoy eating and socializing while Melissa eats alone. In her mind, she rehearses joining in their conversations. She would love to be part of the group, but the curse of her parents' explanation, "She's shy," begins to grip her heart. Controlled by anxiety, Melissa sits by herself, convinced that no one will want to be friends with someone who is shy. And then there's Sandra. Sandra also struggles with social anxiety. She's a quiet young woman studying to become an attorney. She was a good student all through high school and college, always at the top of her class. She's done well in her law school classes also, but she's struggling with the knowledge that she'll have to pass trial law in order to graduate. As part of the curriculum, students must present opening statements, examine and cross-examine witnesses, and give closing arguments in mock trial situations in front of their professors and fellow students. Sandra wants to be a lawyer, but she doesn't think she can make it through trial law with her social anxiety. She's convinced that she'll forget what she wants to say, and her professors and classmates will think that she's stupid and inadequate. She imagines the group talking about her behind her back, about her performance in the mock trial situations. Sandra is seriously considering dropping out of law school. Now, maybe you could identify with Melissa and Sandra, and while you've never dropped out of law school or worked as a cashier, you understand their fear in social interaction. Give me some input here, if you would. What are some things that stir up social anxiety in people? Fear of man, okay. What are some of the things that they fear? Where does that come out? Crowds? Rejection? Failure? Participating in small groups? Talking on the telephone? Asking questions in class, giving input in class, attending social events. Lana?
Well, I'm thinking of when you compare yourself to others.
Being observed by others. writing a check in a store that takes longer than everybody else who's just presenting their credit card, looking at people in the eyes, having to deal with a high-pressure salesman, making a doctor's appointment. We could keep going with a list like that, right? Things that put pressure on people who struggle with shyness. So let's think about a definition of social anxiety. Social anxiety refers to the tendency to be nervous, uncomfortable, or fearful in social situations, usually because of fear about doing something embarrassing or foolish, making a bad impression, or being judged negatively by others. It may be situation specific. It only happens at work, or it only happens in social situations, or generalized. It happens everywhere. It may range in intensity from manageable to overwhelming. Now, for our purposes, shyness and social anxiety are just different ends of a continuum. The more intense the struggle, the more likely the label's going to be social anxiety. Now, according to one source, social anxiety affects at least 17 million people in the United States. It's reported to be the most common anxiety disorder and the third most common psychiatric disorder behind depression and alcohol dependence. So I'm fairly confident that if I ask how many of us in this room consider ourselves to be shy, that many of us would raise our hands. I would be one of them. Those who are shy or socially anxious may also experience physical symptoms, like a racing or pounding heart, quivering, blushing, excessive sweating, trembling, a quavering voice, poor concentration, dry mouth. So social anxiety may come with physical symptoms. To try to control the anxiety, shy or socially anxious people may do what? Isolate. Make excuses not to go to be involved in social situations. What were you going to say, Roseanne?
I was going to say just.
Yes.
Because we might be rejected.
Yes. Or you might have to go through an interview to get the job. Good. They may always arrive late for meetings and leave early so that they don't have to do the social interaction that often occurs at the beginning or end of meetings. Offer to help with the dishes at a social event so that they've got something to do. And again, they're not just there, just, what do I say? That kind of thing. Never answer questions in class. Fill out a check before going to the store so you don't have to fill it out in front of everybody. All right. A fortress of fear. If you struggle with shyness or social anxiety, most likely your fear of interacting with others and being judged by them has caused you to erect a fortress of emotional protection around yourself to keep rejection at bay. But you probably discovered that what's inside your fortress isn't all that pleasant either. You've built a wall around a heart filled with loneliness and fear and hurtful memories and insecurity and pain. And as you look at your heart, maybe you wonder, why would you want to build walls around your heart to protect yourself when the stuff inside it is so nasty? In fact, it sometimes seems like everything good is on the outside, not on the inside of your fortress. But nevertheless, because your heart is vulnerable and tender, your fear keeps you in that fortress. But God promises his children that he hasn't given us a spirit of fear. If that's true, there must be a way to get beyond this fear. If it's true that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, if that's true, then there must be a way to get beyond this. There must be hope for the shy people of this world. Hope for all of us. We are going to go to Psalm 34. All right, we're going to see if this psalm can help us begin to take some steps away from social anxiety. So this psalm, in Psalm 34, we learn that this is a psalm of David when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left. Now, I'm not trying to say that David struggled with social anxiety. I want to be careful that we don't read into the text something that isn't there. But I do think that there's a lot in this psalm that can help us if we are shy or anxious. Now, according to the title at the start of the chapter, the setting for this psalm is David pretending to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away. Now, who was Abimelech? And why did David pretend to be insane?